Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and welcome to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. And I just want to continue right on in a message I've been sharing about the whole Word for the whole man. This is a slogan that Brother Glass was given by the Lord back in 1965 when he founded the ministry. And it emphasizes the importance of the whole counsel of God applied to every aspect of our being. Thessalonians talks about our body, soul, and spirit, that we would be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we understand that our greatest issues as we go on in our Christian life after we're born again, when we're born again, our spirit's not going to be, it's not ever going to change. I mean, it's not going to get any more righteous than it already is. When someone is born again, we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to us. And our physical bodies, they're mortal. They will stay that way until death or till the Lord changes us at the last trump. And so it's our soul nature that is something that we have to deal with throughout our life, and the soul being the seat of the emotions, the affections, the feelings. And what we find in today's world, because there's hurt, there's sorrow, tragedies happen, but people in the world and even in the church world use other things such as activities, people, relationships, things, possessions, food, drugs. They use things to bring comfort to them. And as Christians, it's important that we understand that God is a jealous God, and He is to be our primary source of comfort, our source of strength and counsel and wisdom, guidance when we need it, a solace and just a soothing of the stresses and the trials that we go through. And not that the material things are wrong. In fact, as I shared on a previous broadcast, Scripture actually talks about utilizing material things. For example, when Jairus raised the damsel from death, Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from death, He said to give her something to eat. And when Isaac lost his mother Sarah, he brought Rebekah into his mother's tent and was comforted, the Scriptures say. So there's nothing wrong with the things of this natural world. They are meant, they were God's given us to richly enjoy all things. But primarily, it is God Himself who is to be the source of our comfort, that we're to have no other gods, no other recreation, no hobby, no relationship, anything greater than Him. Now, we know from the Word of God that He is working in us, the Lord, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But there's another very important ingredient that's needed, in one in which we have the power to control. And we need to ask God to help us to utilize our emotions for His glory. We have the control over our emotions. Now, it's true, we're all made up differently. Some of us are expressive, some are very quiet, and we all have different personalities. Some are extroverted, some are introverted, and even in terms of nationalities, there's typical hallmarks, for example, like the Latin languages, France and Spain, those that speak those Romance languages, they tend to be more emotional and more extravagant and expressive, whereas some of the northern nations like Scandinavians or the British tend to be more reserved and withheld. But that doesn't make any difference where we hail from. We are all made in the image of God, so we all have emotions. And the thing to understand is that God has given us emotions to us not to be our enemy, but to be used for His glory. Think of that scripture that talks about greater love than this. No one has greater love than this than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Now think about that. People are not going to die for an idea, but they die for the love of an idea. When a man dies for love of his country, he's willing to lay down his life because he so affirms and so believes the things that his country stands for. Patriotism is a powerful force for those who are out on the battlefields. And remember when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, "When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." So obviously, there has to be a work done within us so that the love that has taken abode within us, because God is love, He is agape love, we have all the love, it's shed abroad in our hearts, but we have to release it, and it's there. You can say, "Oh, well, Sister Judith, I just don't really have the kind of love I need to have." You do, it's there, but it's your carnal nature that can quench it when you can let anger or impatience or things like that drown it out. Let me share a passage of scripture found in the Song of Solomon, and I'm going to be reading from the 8th chapter, verses 5 through 7. "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy brother brought thee forth. She brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned." So love is a very powerful, powerful force. And it's love for God, really, that enables us to walk a victorious Christian life. Why? Because we don't want to be a reproach to the Lord. We want to deserve His good pleasure by the choices that we make, by the wise decisions, walking in the counsel of His word. We'll be able to do those things that please Him. The psalmist said, "I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart." But going back to that scripture I just shared with you from the Song of Solomon, the Lord is speaking in verse 5. He said, "Under the apple tree where your mother gave birth to you in her travail, there I awakened your love." Praise God. Hallelujah. In other translations say, "For love is as mighty as death. As for passion, its bolts are bolts of fire, furious flames, a very flame of the Lord. For love is as strong as death, and passion masters like the grave." Nothing is more powerful in life than death. Think about that. That's the one thing we're all faced with if Jesus tarries. Verse 7 says, "Many waters cannot quench love. Were one to offer all he owns to purchase love, it would be judged as a price not great enough. He would be soundly mocked." Hallelujah. And then that word seal, well, the Holy Spirit is that seal upon our hearts. And praise God, He gives us a passion for God, that desire that drives and motivates us in all that we do. Oh, beloved, I hope you're getting a picture of what the Lord wants us, how He wants us to respond to Him. Every emotion is to be utilized for God's glory. We need to harness the power of our emotions. An idea isn't going to get you excited, but your emotional response to that idea will. That old song we used to sing, my goodness, back in the 70s, "Let's get all excited. Let's go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord." Well, it takes some excitement to motivate us to be willing to do that. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, Solomon talked about, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Now, God has given us emotions, hasn't He? Well, we sometimes tend to summarize them or group them into negative emotions and positive emotions. Let's look at some of the negative ones, such as fear, envy, or jealousy. Well, they're not really negative if directed the right way. For example, every fear except the fear of God is ungodly, but fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's a good thing. And envy or jealousy, well, there's an example in Scripture of a jealousy, if you were, or zealousness, and that's Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, when Israel began to commit whoredoms with the daughter of Moab. In fact, an Israelite man and Midianite woman went into his tent in the sight of all Israel as they were weeping before the tabernacle. So Eleazar, he took a javelin in his hand, and he ran them both through, and the Lord come in, and he was jealous for my sake. And of course, we look at the Gospels, we see that Jesus had great anger. Remember when he drove out the money changers from the temple? And remember how he addressed the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day? He was explosive in his anger. And in Psalm 139, 21 and 22 says, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with them that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." So you see, even though strong negative emotions are not necessarily wrong, they can be directed and expressed in a godly way, but those negative emotions will remain pure, if you will, and uncompromising as we are resolute in our righteous cause. That's the importance of balance. We're never against the person, but we're angry against evil. You know, there are those milksop Christians, they never get upset or moved about anything. Beloved, we need to take a stand. We need to speak out against that which is against God and His Word. Well, I see my time is getting away from me, and I went quickly through the negative emotions, but tomorrow we'll take a look at the positive emotions, how they need to be utilized. Amen. Well, it's been a joy to minister to you the Word of the Lord, and I pray that your life will become take on a new perspective, a new excitement when you realize that God wants every part of you to be used for His glory. Well, in a moment, the announcer is going to give you our contact information. I invite you to write. You may be having some trouble in this area. You know, carnality is, we just have to put it to death, and there's power in agreeing prayer. So I invite you to write, and I look forward to receiving those letters. UCM partners, I thank you so much for your prayer support as well as your financial gifts. If it weren't for both of those, we could not continue on or remain on this station. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.